Blog Talk Radio.
In the game, hard truth soldiers back again. P-Dog, I evolve, I drag pigs to the slaughterhouse, but I never eat hog. At the Fed in the World Bank seesaw, we keep y'all in deep awe, cause we raw. Like uncooked crack by the government, hit like a face rock, listen to the bass knock. Free them in Gina by any means they walk. Let's see who ready to squeeze, giving power to the people and take back America. Panic in the head, a state past the derringer. Aim and shoot, Bay roof to Bay Area, bury your homeland security car carrier.
Get up, don't stop the movement, don't stop it.
This plan to cower isn't ours. This man is proud, keep the scandalous out. Now if it ain't what we about, it's irrelevant. U.S. policy route, embarrassing. Never leaving you without, we got medicine. And we never been, we got better sense. Hard truth, revolutionary black militant. Death to the Minutemen, checks to the immigrants. Street still feeling it, we still killing it. We still slaughtering, hawks feed the innocent. Read the imprint, guerrilla funk was birthed out of necessity. Collectively, respectively, to be head to beast on behalf of the left. Wing scared to speak, now get up.
Get up. Hey, don't stop the movement, don't stop it.
For the USA, the new Babylon, renegade nation formed to do battle on man-made war for mind control, carried on mainstream media platforms to rattle y'all. But I can't be shook by the White House, never go the right route, that's the right route. Bury me a G4 gorilla and I climb out with the nine out, no time for timeout.
Get up, don't stop the movement, don't stop it.
Thank you.
Movement Radio Program. I am Muhammad Soldier, Brother Tony Muhammad, a servant, soldier, and follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that great national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to the black man and woman of America and all the oppressed people of the world. Our purpose on this show is to reignite, to revive, and to enlighten, to restore the life, light, and fire of the followers of the Nation of Islam and those lovers of God, truth, and to awaken the mentally dead of this nation. We would like to thank our God for his love, mercy, and blessing upon us, for giving us the opportunity to reveal some of the truths that were revealed by his great prophets and the scriptures that they brought. We thank him for his servant and the one that we recognize as the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we also thank God for his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our leader and our teacher. And we further would like to thank our sister, who is with us today, Sister Aziza Muhammad, for paving the way, for giving us the opportunity to share some of these truths. And we would like to thank our guest and listening audience for participating with us. We greet you with the greeting words of peace. Of assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
salam,
sir.
Sister Aziza, if you have a few words, you can interject at this time. And if you would like, you could share the phone number with the listening audience in hopes that they will participate in the second half of the show.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. Well, I want to welcome you all back to Nation Building Network this Sunday. And, of course, this is a new show, and we have a new host, Brother Tony Muhammad out of Joliet, Illinois, where he hails from. And we are just hoping that you will enjoy this show and participate as you would on any of our other shows. Brother Tony has been a guest on several of our blog talk shows, and so we just want to take the time to welcome him to the Nation Building Movement family and remind that the rules are still the same. Those of you who may have a question or a comment who are calling by phone, you can press 1 on your dial pad and we'll take your call. Those of you in the chat room, you can type in your question, and, of course, they will, well, Brother Reginald is in there. He will he will take your questions. And Brother Reginald, of course, is my co-host and a member of the Nation Building Movement family, and he's also on the air with us tonight. And for those of you, it's already on Facebook and on Twitter and on all of the other social media sites. But if you run into someone who wants to call in, the number is 646-716-5971. And thank you, Brother Tony.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay. We want to send out a parental guidance. We want to send out a warning, because this show is not for everybody. There's a scripture that says that Jesus sent his disciples to reclaim a colt and a donkey, and that he was going to utilize the colt and the donkey. Now, we were taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that the colt represents the learned class of our people, the more articulate portion and the more learned portion of our people in our community. But the donkey represents the unlearned, the hard-hearted, the more stubborn of our people, the street brother, the street sister, the one that's in the grassroots. So this show is dedicated to those who are more receptive to a raw truth, who is not seeking a 50-cent word for a 10-cent mind, a person that is geared toward a plain truth. And this is what we intend to give you today. The first portion of our show is going to be a little talk to lay the base of what we intend to do in the future if Allah blesses us to continue in the future. So the first part of our show is going to be a talk on the topic and the purpose of what we call the movement. The first 45 minutes will be a talk where we will discuss the foundation and what we are moving toward. We will start at a midway point. And at that midway point, we want to introduce the song of the day. And that song of the day will give the opportunity of those who are in the nation and those who are sympathizers of the movement to present their art, to present a song or a poem that represents the struggle of our people and our quest to move forward and move upward. We will also introduce our product of the day or our service of the day at the midway point, where we allow the believer to introduce his product that he would like to present to the other believers of our nation. And then we will have the shock of the hour news brief. And that news brief is dedicated to the prophecy that was given by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the fall of America. We were taught and told about the fall of America, but we are not given the news by CNN and Fox News of what is taking place to bear witness to the destruction that is taking place in our country. So at that time, we continue to bear witness with the events that are taking place in this country. And the last portion, we will deal exclusively with any contradictions, any questions, or any comments that you will like to make or would like to make in contrast or to bear witness to what we said in the first portion. The topic of today is the four histories of the Nation of Islam and the Farrakhan link. That means we were given four major histories of the Nation of Islam. It was given to us originally by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Those histories are the origin and the making of God. The second one was the deportation of Moon. The third was the tribe of Shabazz in the jungles of Africa. And the last is the history of the man that we call the father of the devil, Yaqub. And the last portion of that subtitle is, what does that have to do with Farrakhan? Farrakhan is linked, is a major link, a link to all four of those histories. Now, the thing that ignited this idea was a discussion that we had on a previous show by our sister. Is Farrakhan in Scripture? So we intend to show our Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Scripture and our Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the history that was given to us about our nation. It is a pity for us to teach a truth, discuss or speak on truth, and not to identify or properly identify the man that has given us the truth. It is a travesty for us to have a dignitary among us and we not properly recognize who this dignitary is. If we were to have a Michael Jordan, a Michael Jackson, a Beyonce, a Jay-Z, a LeBron James come to our home, we would call all of our friends, our family, our neighbors, and tell them that we had a dignitary visit our home. And if they invited us to participate in some function with them, we would walk around with our chest stuck out. We would take pictures and send the pictures all over Instagram, send them all over the emails to show our friends our interaction with this great dignitary. And we would walk around for many weeks with our chest stuck out. because we had this great dignitary. So it is important to understand the dignitary that we have among us today in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We must know exactly who he is. If we don't know exactly who he is, there is no way that we can function in accord with the time that we live in. This is what has motivated this topic. Now, we're going to start with the first history. And hopefully we can cover it all in the next 30 to 40 minutes. We are taught, now I'm going to say many things that many of you disagree with. I'm going to say some things that you don't know, but I can back up everything that I say. We have scriptures and testimonies, and we have men that have walked with Farrakhan, that have walked with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and some that have walked with Master Farah Muhammad that has given us this truth. So if I say some things that you disagree with, just be patient with me. Study it, research it, and then come back at me. But I'm going to give it to you plain, and I'm going to give it to you exactly how it was given to us. Now, we are taught that God created himself in the womb of triple fold darkness. We are taught that he made himself in six periods of time. That doesn't mean 6 days. That doesn't mean 600 years. It means six periods. Each period was approximately 1 million years. We are taught that he created himself in six periods of time. We are taught that six represents incompletion. It represents dissatisfaction. So if you have incompletion and dissatisfaction, that means that it is imperfect. If you have imperfection, you have friction. Anytime you have imperfection and you have friction, you have the death of an organism. The more imperfection, the more friction, the faster the death. This is what we are taught. Now, there's a process that the originator would use to bring his creation into perfection. That process is very simple. And let me interject this. We are taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if you explain something, and if you can't explain it where a seven-year-old can understand it, you don't know what you're talking about. So this is going to be simple where everyone can understand it. He said that the perfecting process is a knowledge of self process. This is why all of us are catching hell. This is why all of us are struggling. We are struggling to help you learn about different aspects of yourself. So you are given a test or a trial, because Allah already knows, to show you who you are, to show you your weaknesses. And so you can figure out a way to get around your weaknesses or overcome your weaknesses. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we should accept our own and be ourselves. And one of our greatest gettings is to get knowledge of self. Now, the way that you evolve into perfection. Now, this is the originator. You learn your imperfections. Then he creates laws. Now, the laws, the obedience to the laws that he sets up reduces the friction. When you reduce the friction, you extend your life. When you increase the friction, you create a faster demise or a faster death. So the originator understood this in the beginning, so he put his creation on a process where people would learn. So the first group don't learn, give me the next group. Okay, you learn more than the first group. Okay, second group, you got a little better. Let's go to the third group. The process continued until there was a man that could have the perfect knowledge. that will give the creation balance where friction would be removed. Now we get into the Farrakhan link. When you remove the friction, then you can have perpetual life. Perfect motion. Perpetual motion is motion with no friction. And this is what the aim and objective of the originator was. So when he created himself, he knew he had to submit to time in order for the perfect knowledge to be established. Okay. We're going to cover what that has to do with Minister Farrakhan. Point number two, the deportation of Moon. Now, listen closely to this, please. We are taught that a man named Shabazz wanted the people to speak the same dialect. The people didn't want to speak the same dialect. So this scientist got mad. He got so mad because we didn't want to speak the same dialect that he tried to kill everybody. So he drilled a hole into the then called moon to almost the center of the earth. He filled it with high explosive, and he set it off. It was a great explosion that took place. The moon shot out, or a piece of the earth shot out 12,000 miles. The earth dropped 36,000 miles, and all the water from the moon dropped back on earth. That's what we're taught. I would like to interject this, and I got to give it to us raw. Just because we want to be stupid, we can't make God stupid. This is 2014, and we're still understanding the histories that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us the same way that people that were riding around in horse-drawn carriages, going to a well, pumping their water, we still understand these histories the same way the people did in 1930. Now, the people in 1930 were a short time out of slavery. They were uneducated. So they had to be given the history in a way where they can understand it. We should be at a higher understanding. We are traveling at twice the speed that they were traveling at. We have technology that would frighten most of them in 1930. So we have to have a deeper and more profound understanding of these histories. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this, and many of us thought that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a defect in his speech, and he was ineloquent. I listened to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I heard him say that the scientists wanted us to speak the same dialect or dialectic. I said, man, is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad having a problem with his speech? How are they saying dialectic? Is it a such thing as dialectic? So I looked it up. And of course it was. Now you're talking about a scientist. Greater than Einstein or any scientist that the world has produced that anyone knows today. He's a scientist. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he was the God of science. So he had sense enough to know that we can't speak the same dialect because of the atmosphere that we are living in. Some of the atmosphere is heavy and warm, and it moves slow. And some of the atmosphere is cold and swift, and it changes real fast. So if you speak a word, it's going to affect the pronunciation of the word or the dialect of the word. So you notice the people in warmer climates in the South, they have a southern drawl. It's a little slower. So don't you think that this scientist understood that? He had to understand. So why would he bring an idea to a group of scientists and he didn't have this basic understanding? He knew that in order for us to speak the same dialect, he would have to change the climate. He would have to change the atmosphere. And you can change the climate and atmosphere by seeding the clouds, by erecting mountain ranges, this type of thing. Is it possible that this is the reason why he had so much explosives? How long would it take him to get so many explosives that he could fill up the earth almost to the center? Think about it. So what I am saying is this. He wasn't just talking about language. He was talking about the difference in thought. He was talking about the yin and yang that is in every one of us. He was talking about that positive and negative pull. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said dialectic. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in one of his lectures, dialectic. He said the yin and yang is a dialectic. It's a pull of two opposites. So when you have two opposite thoughts, like many of you are having right now, saying, where this nigga get this stuff from? Who is this nigga right here? This nigga ain't even tall. Where he come from? And some of your mind is saying, my damn, that makes sense. Man, I never thought of it that way. We have that yin and yang taking place in us right now today. So the aim and the goal and the objective of this scientist, Shabazz, was to remove this positive and negative struggle that is within man. We're going back to Minister Farrakhan in just a minute. Now, let's go to Shabazz. You have Shabazz, who wanted to take his tribe into the jungles of Africa to make them a stronger people. We are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that prior to that, we were a very soft people. We had soft hair like white people, like Indian people, like Mexican people. Hair was stringy, just like the hair on your eyebrow. He said our skin was much softer, like the soft skin of other nationalities of people. He said, but after he took us into the jungles of Africa, we became tough. We became hard. And this is what his goal is. What aim and objective was to make us a tougher people that we would be able to conquer nature. Now, this is a scientist again. Do you think he was the average Negro that you would visit in the project? Now, black people lived in opulence. They had gold shoes, big gold necklaces and gold crowns, silk garments, big cushioned couches with silk and brocade, trimmed in gold and silver. Now, all of a sudden, one of us get up and say, let's go live with the animals. Does that make sense? Why would he want to leave such a lofty spot to go live with some animals? Why would you leave your living room, your bedroom, and want to go live in a zoo with some animals? That don't make sense. But this is the way that we have understood the scriptures and the histories that have been revealed to us. This is not what the aim and objective of the scientist. The aim and objective of the scientist was the same aim, goal, and objective of the originator. The same aim, goal, and objective of the man that deported the moon. Shabazz's goal was to make a perfect human being. So part of the protection process was to make us stronger, to make us more durable, where we would become indestructible. And part of the meaning of the name of Shabazz is unconquerable or indestructible. So he took us not only in the jungles to just lay out in the sun so we can get rougher. He took us through a scientific process that would make us more durable. This process did not come to its full manifestation until the time we are living in today. Now you think about this. In the jungles of Africa, we are allowed to be taken captive by the Caucasians. And for 400 years, we are burned at the stake, boiled in oil, skinned alive, pulled apart by mechanical devices and horses, women with babies cut out their womb while they're still alive and stomping the baby while the baby is alive. We are made to eat rubber and the entire sugar cane crop if it doesn't come out perfect. Our noses are cut off. Our arms are cut off. All of this is taking place by the 24 scientists or the God of the universe is looking at it. Why would he do that? This process of going into the jungles of Africa and the process of taking the black man into servitude slavery and allowing him to be afflicted and tormented for 400 years was to remove that rebellious germ that was in our nature, that thing that was to help us become more perfect. Last history. The final history is Yaqub. We are taught that this boy named Yaqub decided that he was going to take the germ out of the black man and make a white man that was going to kill us and torment us. And as a result, he did just that. So in 1930, we were taught that Yaqub made the devil. He took the black people and tormented them for 40 years. And in response to that, after being taught that, black people jump up and say, the devil did it, the devil did it. He hung us on trees. He's unjust. He ain't letting us get justice. He ain't letting us use his bathroom. We can't go in his restaurants and eat. He's a devil, blue-eyed devil. He's a skunk. He's a skunk of planet Earth. Why are we using the same language that we were given in 1930? Yaqub's idea, just like you, just like me when I was a boy, my father was a token Negro. He was the first in everything in the company that he worked for. He was always the token Negro from the time he was a little boy. He was the first in his high school. He was the first on the basketball team, the first on the baseball team, the first in the military to travel on the basketball team, the first lieutenant in the military, black. He was the first on his job, and I'm watching this as a little boy. And I'm saying, why are these white people treating him different? I'm watching from afar. Why are they smiling in his face and talking about him behind his back? So, just like other little boys, where my daddy at? Why is this other man in my house and my daddy not here? Why isn't my mother and father together? Why do these little white boys get to go home and I got to go back to the project? We, as little children, we analyze things because we are made to think mathematically, naturally. So Yaqub was watching these future so-called Negroes as a little boy. And he said, why, after trillions of years, these Negroes ain't perfect? What's wrong with them? So he was motivated as a little boy to study the thing that was causing the original people from becoming or attaining to perfection. So he studied the life germ. And in the life germ, he found a piece of material that he could separate and create a life of his own. And this entity that he created is what we call today the Caucasian or the white man. Now, the reason why he brought it out is because we have always been a stubborn people. So we wouldn't voluntarily allow him to create one that would afflict us. We wouldn't voluntarily allow ourselves to be afflicted to remove the residues of this germ out of us. So his aim and objective was the same aim and objective of the originator, and that was to help the original man become perfect. This is why he created the Caucasian, to show us the portion of ourselves that caused us or prevented us from attaining to perfection. Now, we have just about 5 minutes. Now, the vision that the originator had, the idea that the originator had, the idea of the man that deported the moon, the idea of Shabazz that went into the jungle, was to make or help the original people attain to perfection or to become perfect. This process did not reach its final stage until the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the first man that attained to perfection. Now, most of you say it was Master Farad Muhammad. That could be true, but I don't necessarily agree with that. Because just because you have the running back that plays for the Minnesota Vikings who tore his ACL, he got operated on by the doctor to repair the ACL. And just because he repaired the ACL doesn't necessarily mean that he's greater than his patient. The Master Farad Muhammad put himself lower than the Honorable Elijah Muhammad by calling the Honorable Elijah Muhammad his uncle. So if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his uncle, then he is the nephew. The Master Farad Muhammad is the man that we call God. And we teach that he searched 20 years to find black people that were in the hells of North America as slaves. Now, this is God. We are taught that he has the ability to tune in on every living being on the planet. But he had to search for 20 years to find some slaves. Does that make sense? There were no other people that were held or slaves in no other portion of the country or no other portion of the world. So why would he have to search for 20 years? Everybody knew about the slave trade, and everybody was participating in the slave trade. The Arabs were one of the major contributors to the slave trade, and he came from an Arab country. So why did it take him 20 years to find a whole people, or 17 million people? That doesn't make sense. His job, his goal and objective was to find one, and this is what we are taught. And the one that he found was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we will go further into that at a later date, God willing. So, he used his perfect knowledge to create or to recreate or to reshape the perfect being, and that first being was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let me prove what I'm about to say or what I just said. We are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that Jesus is of 2,000 years ago. His body was embalmed to last 10,000 years. He was such a great man that they embalmed his body to last for 10,000 years, and his body is in the East today in a tomb with mirrors all around it, in a glass air-packed tomb. This is what we're taught. He said that the scientists have so honored him in his greatness that they're going to make his body last for 50,000 years. Now, he didn't say they were going to let Master Farad Muhammad's body last for 50,000 years. He said his body was going to be embalmed to last for 50,000 years. He said that the 24 scientists are sitting today and discussing whether they're going to allow his body to be petrified in stone where it would last forever. Now, what type of being is he where his body will be petrified to last ever. He is the first one from amongst the dead to be made a perfect being. He is the greatest being that ever lived, but the most important being that ever lived is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. These are words that are directly from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because this first perfect being had to have an instrument that he could use to make the rest of the people on the planet, or shape the rest of the people on the planet into perfect beings. And this is exactly what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is to us. He is the instrument that the originator had in mind. He is the instrument that Shabbat, that deported the moon, had in mind. He is the instrument that Yaqub had in mind. And he is the first one that was declared, as the Bible teaches us in the book of John, he was the first one to be declared the son of Master Farad Muhammad. They said that God had a son, but it wasn't his physical son. Physically, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the seed of David. But spiritually, he is the first one that is declared to be the son of the God that is going to rule the new world forever and ever. And that God is Master Farad Muhammad. Now, we have about four more minutes. This is the last thing that I'm going to say on this. Once we realize that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the most important being that ever lived, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he is more valuable to him than all the wealth that is in the earth. Now, all the wealth in the earth is gold, silver, diamonds, water, dirt, worms. Everything you can think of has some value to the earth. And everything that you can think of sustains the life on the earth. So all the value on the earth is for the life of the earth. So he is saying that this man is more valuable than life itself. This is the words, if you analyze what he said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is the man that is the most important being that ever lived. Once we realize that, once we accept that, then we will look at this man, we will listen to this man, and we'll be more apt to obey the instructions of this man in order that we may become like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We might attain perfection like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So this concludes the first portion of the four histories of the Nation of Islam and the Farrakhan link. Now, what we would like you to do at this time is prepare your questions. Question me on anything that we have said. We have histories, we have writings, and we have witnesses to bear witness to what we say. And if you disagree, or if you decide that you want to make a statement, call us on the second portion of our show and make your a question or a comment. At this time, we would like to introduce our artist and song of the day. Our artist this week, and let your friends and family and fellow believers know in the Nation of Islam that we want to promote you. But the songs or the poetry or the music that you present to us, we would like for it to be something positive. We would like for it to be something uplifting, because this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us that the airwaves should be used for. This song is very impactful and is one of my favorites. It is by one of our brothers. The name of it, he's from South Carolina. The name of the song is The Day They Came and Got Farrakhan. It's called The Warning. So listen, let us know what you think.
I remember when I first started going out with the Final Call newspaper.
Final Call!
Would have got me some bean pie. Might as well make me some money while I'm out here. I met a lot of interesting people while I was out there on that corner. But this is one brother in particular. I always remember this brother. One day when I was out with my paper and bean pies, I looked up and I saw this really clean guy. Sharp, night shooting, a mean tie. Smooth, from his head to his shoes. Yeah. She bought a few papers, bought a few pies from me. Knew that he was different from the day I laid eyes on him. Maybe he a Muslim, maybe he a pastor. When he pulled off, I'm like, maybe I should've asked him. Cause he ain't say much, jumped in his car and dipped. Counted my money, he gave me a $5 tip. I said,
Alhamdulillah, I needed that.
About a week went by, he did the same thing. Then weeks turned to months, it became a routine. And got to the point where I can recognize the car. I'm like, there go my brother, I can see him from afar.
It's always good to see a beautiful face, especially I have at a rough day.
One day he pulled to the block like he usually do. Said, young soldier, let me get my usual. But this time it's like he wanted to talk. He kinda pulled to the side and he didn't pull off. So I took a break and I jumped in the car with him, so I could chop it up, you know, mentally spar with him. He opened up to me and I was really surprised, cause when the brother looked at me, he had tears in his eyes.
Everything alright, black man?
So he leaned over to me, straightened up my bow tie. Said, keep your white shirts clean and keep your shoes shine. And when you in the dark, make sure you do right. Cause people turn into beasts in the pale moonlight. I said, brother,
you right. You walk around on all fours, huh?
And then he said, you were good, brother. Just keep on pushing. But no, going to the mosque don't make you Muslim. And you still a baby, you got a lot to learn. And I'm an old timer, I done had my turn. He said, I love Farrakhan. Thank God that I found him. But one thing I had to learn, the man of God got a lot of devils around him. So if Allah bless you to grow, you gon' see the different levels. But the higher up you get, you run into bigger devils. You'll see some things that'll shock your world. If you ain't studying and praying, it'll rock your world, boy.
If you get a revelation, better keep it to yourself. But you don't understand.
You won't understand till you see it for yourself. If somebody quotes something, try to read it for yourself. Cause there's some lies in this world, just sinister. Wanna walk on water, keep your eyes on the minister. Know Elijah's Christ and Farad is God. Try to keep them three in your heart of heart. Keep walking, cause you a shepherd. But everybody ain't meant to be sheep. Cause a lot of believers, they mentally weak. So pay attention when the minister speaks. And try to imitate the minister's speech. So when you get in front of the people, you can mimic his speech. And never let them see your energy weak. Keep your eyes open cause that enemy creeps. And watch the brothers you with and the friends that you keep. And whose table you sitting, whose dinner you eat. Cause they will poison you, brother. And this world won't let Malcolm rest. You hear the people say, y'all killed Malcolm X. I tell the people that y'all don't have no proof of that. But listen to me, son, there's some truth to that.
Yes, sir, the minister did say we set the atmosphere for that to happen. Like right now, everybody with the minister ain't with the minister.
A lot of people want the minister's fame, but them folks don't want the minister's pain. And when they come at us, they gon' come in the minister's name. And the people be like, I can't believe the minister's changed. And our nation is sick and it hurts. Used to be a military, now we just like a church. People lazy, they don't wanna do the work.
He said, listen to me.
Then he said Islam is a way of living, not a religion. He took his shahada when he was in prison. And when he came home, he made a conscious decision. And he was headed to the mosque on a mission. He said 20 years of prison, long and rough. And I'd have been mistreated long enough. And he had to leave the mosque. He wasn't strong enough.
I can't keep up with that
bullshit. He said I had a rep in the street the way I used to bust heads. If I didn't leave the mosque, it would have been bloodshed. I said, brother, nothing.
I'm saying, black man,
it's hard for me to even smile in there, cause the agents and hypocrites be running wild in there. I'm 50 years old. They talk to me like I'm a child in there. They're Muslims with their mouths, brother. Some people claim Islam, just embarrassing. Believers and hypocrites, no comparison. Some of us will stand and fight wicked Babylon. Some of us will haul ass and run a marathon. But we'll see who's who the day they come and get Farrakhan.
Roosters crowing that day, huh?
That was the day we come and get Farrakhan. for our brother from South Carolina, and y'all support our brother. Now for our product of the day, Soul Purpose Health and Wellness product by our sister Tamora Sharif. We have Soul Purpose products. They are designed to inspire, soothe, rejuvenate, and empower the very essence of you. From deep within your soul to your own and unique spirit, and from head to toe, discovering and embracing your magnetism, both spiritually and physically, is the heart, is at the heart of everything Soul Purpose does. And Soul Purpose products. Products are made of all natural and organic ingredients. Soul Purpose health and wellness products. We have lotions, shower gels, candles, and essential oils. For more information, contact Sister Tamora Sharif at Soul Purpose Marketing Products at 231-715-1796. That's Sister Tamora Sharif at Soul Purpose Products. That's 231-715-1796. You can also email her at TamoraSharif@soulpurpose.net. That's TamoraSharif@soulpurpose.net. Soul Purpose Products. That number again, 231-715-1796 for the Soul Purpose experience. Now, shock of the hour news brief. Drought parts of the West. 11 states declared disaster area. 52% of the state of California is now in extreme drought. A state's highest percentage since the year 2000. Federal officials have designated portions of 11 western and central states as primary natural disaster areas because of the drought. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced Wednesday, on the 16th of January, that these counties are natural disaster areas. The state of Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada, Kansas, Texas, Utah, Arkansas, Hawaii, Idaho, Oklahoma, and California all are designated as natural disaster areas. The designation means that all farmers are qualified for a low-interest emergency loan because of this destruction. The U.S. Drought Monitor federal website tracks the drought, and they have also reported the storm that have dumped rain and snow in the east. Droughts are persisting and intensifying in the West. The worst states for drought are California, Oregon, and Nevada. More than 62% of the state of California is now in extreme drought. The highest percentage of drought since January in the South. Extreme drought is the second worst in history. The entire state of Oregon is now in complete drought, while Nevada is just under 97%. For more news, bear witness to the prophesied destruction, the shock of the hour, the fall of America. Tune in next week to the shock of the hour news brief. Okay, we are at our second portion of our show. Now, we would like to open up the phone lines, chat room, for any questions or comments that you would have on anything that we have said, anything that you have researched to bear witness to the topic of today, or any disagreements that you may have that you would like to discuss or that you would like to make a point of. So give us a call now. We're opening the phone lines. We're anxious to hear from you at this time. Sister Aziza, would you like to make a comment at this time?
Yes, sir. We do have some questions in the chat room, but we're going to go to the phone lines first. So let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling by phone and you have a question for Brother Tony, please press one on your dial pad and we'll take your question. And we already have questions in the chat room. So we're going to start with Brother Reginald. Brother Reginald, you have questions for Brother Tony?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Sister Queen, for allowing me to ask these questions. And I want to first start by saying, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that he came in the person of Master Farhat Muhammad, the great Mahdi. I want to thank him for finding one among us to lead, teach, and guide us into the truth. And that man is the exalted Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I thank the both of them for leaving us with the greatest man to ever walk the earth that we know in our era and the era to come. And that man is none other than their disciple, faithful disciple and son, the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their names that I greet all of the listening audience in the host of the show, and the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. Now, the first question that we have, it says, why did Master Farhat Muhammad denounce the members of the Nation of Islam as referring themselves to Arabs?
Why did Master Farhat Muhammad denounce the believers
didn't want them to declare themselves as Arabs?
Oh, okay. We, of the original tribe of Shabazz, are the founders, as we are taught in our supreme wisdom, of the planet that we now call Earth. We are the ones that survey the land and determine what the most fruitful part and substantive part of the earth was, and that part being the Middle East. We were the first ones, after the deportation of the moon, to lay claim of the earth and claim the best part. After this process, as the original rulers, as the original tribe, we designated to the other inhabitants of the planet certain areas that they would be allowed to occupy. We gave the Japanese people Japan. We gave the Chinese people China. We gave the Indians India. We exiled the Indians, or a portion of the Indians, to America, the American Indian. So we have a tribe that identifies who we are. We have a tribe that identifies our function on the earth and our function in the universe. That function is the gods of the universe. We are the ones that control, that monitor even the life forms that are on other planets. The Arab is from a different tribe. Tribes were given their identity based off their function, based off their nature. So the nature and function of the Arab is different than that of the original man. So the job of Master Farhat Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was to put the original black man from the tribe of Shabazz back into that original seat. So he didn't want us subjecting ourselves to other cultures or other nationalities or other tribes of people. He wanted to separate us in order that he could restructure us into our own. And that own is being the gods of the earth and the gods of the universe.
Thank you for that answer, brother. Okay. Just a quick side note before we ask the next question. We have an audience member that wants to know, how can we purchase and or own the CD of the artist played in the interlude?
Well, I really apologize. I was looking for the actual name. I was sent the name of the original artist. Hopefully someone in the listening audience can get that for you shortly. But it is a brother out of South Carolina. I don't remember his name. It was sent to me, but I can't recall it. But before the end of the show, with the help of Allah, I will get that for you, and we will announce that to the listening audience.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Sister, you want me to ask the next question, or you have a question on the phone? Okay, I'll go ahead and ask the next question, brother. The next question is, and you kind of touched on it, so it's perfect for the scenario. I've heard you call yourselves the tribe of Shabazz, and Shabazz was supposedly your father. Why did he allow his children to go through this type of suffering?
That is a great question, and it's very difficult to get human beings to visualize the scientific process that we were allowed to go through. We are beings of matter. Part of our existence is material. Part of our existence is spiritual. Anytime you have material and you want to purify a material like gold or silver or coal, you have to put it through a process of heat. So therefore, it says in the book of Malachi that the Lord would come to the temple and he would stand as a refiner's fire or a full of soap. A refiner is a person that purifies metals. So anytime you purify a metal, you have to put it through fire. Anytime you purify a material, you have to heat it. So the process that we went through spiritually is called the fire of hell. The heat, the exertion that was placed upon us was nothing more than a scientific heating process. Pain and affliction is the thing that generates the energy that you can bring about a change. So when you want to build muscle, you have to go through the pain of exercise and lifting weights. The pain produces the energy that will allow you to make the change. So Shabazz, the gods and the prophets prophesied that the original people would go through the fire of affliction, the fire of hell, and it was nothing more. God is not some masochist that's sitting watching people go through pain. The process is given in order to bring about a purifying process. It was nothing more than that, a scientific purifying process.
All right. Thank you, brother. Sister Queen, do you want to interject with a question from the phone, or you want me to proceed? You can just be silent if you want me to proceed.
No, I'm sorry. I couldn't get my phone off of mute long enough. And I have so many people that are calling me on my phone because they can't get into the the studio line because they're all full. So I'm sorry about that. So you're going to have to go to our Blog Talk chat. Brother Reginald is working the Blog Talk chat. So if you go down, if you click the link and go down to the bottom and make a comment, Brother Reginald can see it and address your comment. But I'm sorry for those of you who can't get in on the line. We have several questions in chat room, of course, and this is from Lynn. Lynn is a newly processed sister, and she says, how do you figure a period of time is a million years? Where is that stated?
The period of time is not a million years. The period of time is a trillion years. I think I will present it like this. There are certain prophecies that are written in Scripture. Those prophecies were revealed to us in the Bible and the Holy Quran. Wise men study the prophecies of the Bible and the Quran in order that they might be in tune with the time. So if in the Holy Quran we are currently functioning in history and the current events that is taking place around us is on page 427, then the scientists study the book so their actions will be in accord with what's on page 427. I'm just giving an example. There is only a certain portion of the prophecy that is revealed through Scripture. There's a portion of prophecy that is written in the stars. Certain scientists amongst us can study the stars, and the stars will tell you where we are in history. So some of the history was given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about the stars, what the blue star meant, what the red star meant, what Sirius meant, the star Sirius, what the dog star meant, that type of thing. So certain portions of the history are written in the stars. Now, once you get that portion of history that is written in the Scripture, once you get that portion of history that's written in nature, once you get that portion of history that is written in the stars, there's a higher form of revelation. The highest form of revelation is when God sends you a man. The man gives a revelation that ignites the people. And the people start to function on a level that they weren't functioning on prior to the coming of this prophet or messenger. The information that he gives exalts the people above all the people of the planet, all the other people of the planet. Now, it takes some time. It may take 100 or 200 or so years. But the people eventually evolve above all the people of the planet based off the knowledge that they received from their prophet. The trillion-year revelation came from the messenger of God that was sent to the black man and woman of America. That messenger of God was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was to reveal the secrets that were written in these scriptures. And he taught us that when the Bible says in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and the seventh that he rested, when it says in the scripture that the number of the beast is the number of the man, 66, he said that these numbers represent 6 days represent 6 periods of time, and those 6 periods of time represent a trillion years per day, meaning 6 trillion years. So to answer your question directly, we got that directly from God's messenger, which is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and as it is taught today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Okay, and we have a question from Derwin. And Derwin wants to know, as for Shabazz, what is the source of your information?
There we go with the same question. Okay.
Yeah.
We will add to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that they searched the scripture, meaning the people of the earth, that the religious people, the scholars, the scientists, the religious scholars and scientists, it says that they searched the scripture, and in it they think that they will find wisdom, but they testify of me. The scripture is a testament. You are told that you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. When you have a trial, you have a judge, you have a jury, you have a lawyer, you have a defendant, then you have witnesses, and the witnesses give testimony. The witnesses are not the ones that commit the crime. They just give testimony of the events that led to the crime or that took place during the crime. So the Bible and the Quran is nothing more than testimonials. The only thing the Bible and the Quran is doing is pointing you towards somebody. So it says they think they will find wisdom in the book, but they testify of me. The book is telling you, look at that man right there. That's the one right there. You see this description? That's him right there. When you see a guy that looks like this, that's him. So it's testifying of a man. So you shouldn't just seek knowledge, understanding, and revelation from the scripture. That is not the highest level. You should seek knowledge, revelation, understanding from the man or the men that the scripture is pointing to. That man that the scripture is pointing to is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It says in the book of Malachi, that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah. He will come right before the day of destruction. And this is where we got this knowledge. This is where we got this understanding. This is where we receive this revelation from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And Sister Fatima says, are you saying that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is more valuable than Master Farah Muhammad? How can this be so when it was the knowledge of Master Farah Muhammad that was taught to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that made him the messenger who he became and who he is?
That is a great question. That is a great question. That is a great question. I'm trying to figure out the best way because you have to be very careful. Okay. We are taught that Master Farah Muhammad, the Son of Man, had a job. That job was, as we are taught, to go and find his uncle. Okay? It doesn't say that he went to find his brother. We are taught that he went to find his uncle. It says in our lessons, my name is W.F. Muhammad. I came to North America by myself. It says that my uncle was brought over here 379 years ago. It says he doesn't know that he's my uncle. Okay, so Master Farah Muhammad himself, in his lessons, gave us a greater title than the title that he gave himself. This is what I am saying. I am saying that we are taught that his job was to put the original people, from the tribe of Shabazz back into to their original seat. We are taught in the scripture, and we are taught in our histories, that his job was to put the Honorable Elijah Muhammad back on the throne of power. It didn't say that he would control the throne of power. It says that he would put the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the throne of power. So this is basically what we're saying. We are not saying that Honorable Elijah Muhammad has Master Farad Muhammad bound to him. Master Farad Muhammad is the one that made the Honorable Elijah Muhammad what he is today. He is the one that gave him the original knowledge that was hidden from us that existed with the originator. So if I invite you to my home to eat and I put you at the head of the table, it means that you're at the head of the table. So it is the same thing with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It doesn't mean that you control my house unless I allow you to have that control. So Master Farad Muhammad has done that for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He has put him at the head of a table. He has put him at the control of the entire universe. He said everything would bow to him except God himself. So he has been given a power that no other being has ever been given. Now let me say this. In the theology of the time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he was made of the original material. There was a material that the originator constructed himself from. And according to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad revealed and hinted, he said that that original material was contained in his being. So this is why Master Farad Muhammad had to search, because he was trying to find that original material. He said that Master Farad Muhammad and himself searched the original footsteps and the original artwork of the originator. And we are taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that this is where the God draws his power from. Probably not the correct terminology to say that he is greater, but he has been put in the seat that no other being has. There is no higher seat other than the seat that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sits in, but he was put there by Master Farad Muhammad.
Okay, thank you, Brother Tony. And we have a question from Stephanie. Oh, walaikum salam. Go ahead, Brother Kareem.
Yes. Let me open, of course, in the correct manner. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst. Just on that last question, I had to say something about that. If you study the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you study the theology of time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in several places stated himself that Allah was making him up into himself. That, right there, I mean, Brother Tony's exegesis was excellent. But just those statements, those several statements alone by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, lets us know what his position is. As a matter of fact, and I'm going to leave it at this, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, and I believe it was Rebirth of a Nation, 1981 Savior's Day, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated, if you notice, he kept talking about how Allah would destroy this devil, but in the latter years, before his departure, he started saying, I will destroy this devil. So, I mean, it's, the messenger himself has placed it there for us to know. As-salamu alaykum.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful bearing of witness, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and we have a question from Sister Stephanie, who wants to know, how long did it take the Supreme Being to create himself?
That is a great question. Now, let me say this, if I may. I have been waiting for this since 1995. This is the type of interaction that the believers used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the greatest power or the greatest source of energy is in his words, in his teaching. If we study and converse over his teaching, that it would electrify the blood and the cells that wash the brain, and it will ignite and actually lighten up your brain. So this is beautiful. It's a beautiful question. Thank you very much. I appreciate that question. But we are taught, this is a very deep subject, and inshallah, I hope that Allah will bless us to go deeper into this subject and bless me to discuss what Allah has revealed. But let us go back into the darkness of the universe. We are taught that when Allah created himself in the womb of triple-fold darkness, there was nothing but total darkness. There was no sun. So the scientists have studied and discovered that if you remove the sun, that the temperature would be approximately 457 degrees below zero. They call that absolute zero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The scientists have also said that the greatest conduit or instrument to help the flow of electricity is cold. The colder it is, the more easier it is for electricity to flow. So that gives you a picture of what was taking place in this darkness. Now, this is another thing that is very important. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Allah created himself from the atom of water. There is no such thing as an atom of water. It's a molecule of water. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used terminology that would help the people of 1930 understand. So he couldn't go into quarks and kinetic energy and absolute zero and all that type of thing. So he started with something very basic. So atom of water also means a very small particle. Okay. So if you have absolute zero, if you have the free flowing of electricity, the other thing you have, I'm getting to your answer, is a sphere, a circle, full of matter. To give you an example, if you take a bowl and fill it with Cocoa Puffs, cereal, that's the type of environment that it was. Now, if you pour milk into the bowl and eat all the cereal except 10 pieces. That means that Allah removed all of the matter that was in this field, in this circle, except 10 pieces, the sun and the nine planets. So the atmosphere was full of matter. So from this flow of electricity, the last thing I'm going to say is this. When you have absolute zero, matter turns to liquid. Now, you can go study it. You can Google it. When the matter turns to liquid, the liquid will seek out its own level. That means that if you have a sink full of water at this temperature, and you put a cup over the sink, once you get to that temperature, that water would jump out or crawl out of the cup and drop into the sink because it was its own level. So this is how the matter is functioning in the womb of triple-fold darkness. From that you have the first spark, and then Allah, or the material, starts to shape itself. Okay? Now, the answer to your question is no one knows. Because as Allah is creating himself, nobody is writing it down. So after he came into consciousness, he went back and calculated how long that it probably took. Based off the restructuring and the recreation of himself, when he made another being and another being, he calculated the time. And that time, he calculated to be approximately 6 trillion years. So it took approximately, based off the mathematical calculation of the originator and the restudy of Master Farad Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who went back to the original spot that he created himself from, they studied that area, and they calculated that it was approximately 6 trillion years it took for him to create himself. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan calculated it at, or said that it was eons of time. So to answer your question, we really don't know, but the calculation is approximately 6 trillion years.
All praises be to Allah, brother. All praises. That's Alhamdulillah. Wisdom, Alhamdulillah. That's science and mathematics at its best. Islam.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay,
Alhamdulillah.
Brother, we have another question, and this question I chose just in front of the other one because we really have not mentioned the Minister Louis Farrakhan in our question series. So
yes,
I'm going to include this question. It says, why did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called them blue-eyed devils and then told Minister Louis Farrakhan not to use that term? Is it improper for us to continue to use that term on occasions, or should we follow the example laid out by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
Huh, man, these are beautiful questions, very beautiful. The terminology that was given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad of the Caucasian being the blue-eyed devil, the terminology was understood according to what our consciousness was in 1930. Unfortunately, we have not evolved in our consciousness in understanding the terminology that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad revealed to us. The terminology, every term, every word that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used was a scientific word. The Caucasian, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad revealed to us about the atom, the so-called lost found Muslim nation took the atom, and we just quoted the atom. God created himself an atom. He mentioned the atom in the supreme wisdom. But the Caucasian took the book, and he studied it. He said, Allah created or cracked the atom into 10,000 parts. So the Caucasian took the atom and tried to crack it into 10,000 parts. But we became cotologists, not understanding the science. And the Caucasian, from cracking the atom, from the lessons that he took from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, created a man-made sun, S-U-N. A man-made sun is a nuclear reactor. It does the same thing that the sun does. It creates light, life, and power. But it doesn't produce the vitamins of life. Okay, the term devil is a scientific term, but we used it as a racist term. So when they call us nigger, we call them devil as a racist term to try to get them back for what they were saying to us. But devil doesn't mean you mean white man. It doesn't mean that. Devil means anything that is grafted from original. It's a scientific term. So you have devil's food. You have devil animals. Scientific terminology. Since we did not evolve with the terminology in the way that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was trying to evolve, he said, just get rid of the word. Don't use that no more. Because you're using it as garbage. And I'm trying to get into negotiation with the white man to give us land but you steady throwing garbage into a well that I'm trying to get water from. So don't use it anymore until you evolve and can use it scientifically. So he told us to discontinue. And the reason, and this is my understanding of it, this is not a quote. Most things that I'm going to say will be a quote, but my understanding of it is he told us to discontinue until we evolve to the true understanding of what these words mean. So, no, we shouldn't continue to use those words. We should follow the example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. His history is a bear of witness that his conduct has allowed him to be the most successful black man in America. And if we wish to attain that same success, and if we intend to prevent ourselves from falling into trouble and affliction, we should follow his example, because in 80 years, he has not been involved in any type of negative activity or skirmish or imprisonment or anything that would bring harm to himself, his family, or to the Nation of Islam. So it is best that we follow his righteous example.
All praises be to Allah for that answer. Yes, sir. Okay, this next question is a two-part question followed by a comment. If Master Farah Muhammad is God and Elijah Muhammad is his messenger or exalted Christ, why did they allow themselves to be jailed? It reminds me of Jesus running from being stoned. And if Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is Jesus in our midst, why hasn't he been jailed?
Ooh, and these people are. I wanted to say something. You have a lot of brothers in that's among us that study the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and study the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and they say you have to speak the language of the people. You know, you can't be too heavy. You don't want to lose them. See, we are judging our people based off where we were when we came in the nation. See, we were ignorant. You see, most of us, we didn't have no conception of having a computer in our household. We would see a computer, we'd be like, what's that doing in the house? But our children will see a computer in the house and run right up to it and start doing all kind of stuff to it, running programs, all kind of stuff. Our people are more evolved now, and the questions are bearing witness to how evolved our people are. So it's beautiful to hear this line of questions. Okay, to answer your question, the scripture says, in reference to the coming of God, that he would hide his power. The reason why he would hide his power is because someone had to be an example and show the man that was sent to save us the manner or the road that he would have to travel in order to be successful in saving us. If you have the messenger of God, if he came today, where is the majority of our people? Where is the majority of the men of our society? You have millions of us in the prison. So a portion of us had to be taught in prison. Not only that, many of us are slow to recognize and accept the truth. So during the time of trying to resurrect us, many of us who will accept the truth and take on the mission to save others would have to wade in the water with the people. We had to sit in the gutter with the people just to teach them. We would have to sit in solitary confinement just to teach one who would come up and be a great leader among us. The only way the word could get into the darkest areas of this country is it would have to be carried there. So somebody had to be the example. And when you see your leader or the one that is trying to guide you going through these type of afflictions, and he's not crying and moaning and trying to escape the affliction, then it builds up your confidence. It builds up your strength. It makes you feel unconquerable. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farad Muhammad paved the way to show the road that we would have to travel in order to save the least of those amongst our people. So he didn't send one. The scripture said he came himself, and he made himself of no reputation. So he did it as an example to show the road that had to be traveled. Last part of your question. I think you asked, why hasn't the minister, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan been in prison? Was that the question that was asked, brother?
That is correct, sir. Sir, yes, sir.
Okay. Just so you will know, I'm glad you asked that question because I was kind of hesitant to reveal this portion. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to jail. I'm letting you know now, according to the scripture and according to his own testimony, he is going to prison. They're coming after him. They're going to arrest him. They're going to charge him. They are going to charge him with sedition. The law of sedition was removed from the books. When the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan started evolving to power, they reenacted the law of sedition. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was warned by a friend of his, I think it was a sister that worked in the Congress, that this is what their plans were, to trump up charges, to get the Nation of Islam in disarray. Once they did that, they would come and arrest him and charge him with sedition. The penalty that they have put on the books today for sedition is death. They intend to kill, they intend to arrest and kill the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This coincides with the scripture or the prophecy of what was to happen to Jesus. Jesus was arrested. He was charged with sedition, and he was given the penalty of death. And this is exactly what's going to happen. So that is a great question, but it will be fulfilled at the proper time. But let me add that we will be the victor. He will be the victor.
Oh, praise is Allah. Wakbar, long live Muhammad. Thank you for that answer. And that is something as believers that it made that answer probably put some emotions in a lot of believers, because I know it put an emotion in me. But
yes,
for the believers, that should let you know just how valuable this servant of ours is in our midst today, and why we must, thanks to the brother Tony Muhammad, we must put the fire in our desire and work extra hard for this man.
Yes, sir.
Because we don't have much time left with him. And when they go to do this, we know that he is backed up by some will. So we got to be prepared. Okay, sir, I just want to put that out there.
Great
now, the
point.
Next
Great
question point. Is dealing with, it asks, could you explain the statement of only 144,000 surviving and those would only be Muslims? This was spoken to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from Master Farad Muhammad.
Okay. There's a very key component. And one day, with the help of Allah, I pray that we are allowed to break down point by point. And it's a very few, the keys or the components that are needed to understand prophecy and scripture. The component that we must understand that is applied to prophecy, revelation, and scripture is the component of the divine evolutionary life force. The scripture has an evolutionary mechanism to it. You turn it on, and it moves forward. It evolves. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that when you talk about prophecy, when you talk about scripture, you must explain it in the past, present, and future perfect tense, because it evolves to the perfection of the revelation, the fullness of the revelation. So The 144,000, and I wish I could look it up very quickly, is in the earlier portions of the Bible. Okay? It's
Brother, go ahead. Take your time. Take your time.
At the, I don't know if it's the 10th chapter. It's the 7th chapter of the Bible. Okay. One of the mistakes that we make in understanding or trying to explain Scripture is that we make it sporadic. It starts here, then it jumps over here, then it jumps backward, then it jumps forward, then it jumps 10 feet up high. Scripture is not like that. If you read the book of Revelation, it says, that happened. And this happened. And that happened. And this happened. And means in addition to. You add, you start with this, then you add that. When you get that, then you add this. So on and so forth. So, the Bible doesn't say, or the Holy Quran doesn't say, or the Bible doesn't reveal Revelation. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did the Millennium Man March. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was born in 1933. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had an operation. It doesn't say it like that. It gives you the sequence. He's born in 1933. His mother's name was Samaya. He had an uncle that taught him about Garvey. He met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, became a minister. It's in sequence. So in the 7th chapter, it tells you about this 144,000. This 144,000 are those who are most righteous in their conduct. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used the scientific term Muslim. You have not only natural science, you have scriptural science. So the word Muslim is a scientific term. Those who are most righteous in their conduct. Those who are in complete submission to the will of God. That's why he used the term Islam. So there will be 144,000 people who are most righteous, who are most in submission to the will of God, who will be chosen as mayors, as governors, as senators, as ministers, as captains and lieutenants, who will be functioning in positions of labor, who would go after the people to try to get them to be righteous, to get them to submit to the will of God. These 144,000 will be chosen to go after those on the entire earth. Once they complete their job, if you look in the later chapters, 20, 21, 22, 23, it tells you about a number that no man could count that was with the Lamb of God, and they said praises to his name, and they were written on it, the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's not the 144,000 people that will be saved. It is talking about people that will be chosen as laborers for God to go after those that remain on the earth.
Thank you. All praises be to Allah for that answer. And I just want to add this also. This is high science in mathematics that Brother Tony Muhammad is bringing us, and he's doing it I'm just here to compliment you and give praises to Allah for allowing you to master the mathematical language to make this clear and precise to the listening audience. I just want to go ahead and commend you right now on how clear your answers are for the listening audience. Okay. Next question is, why is Master Farad Muhammad considered the Mahdi, and what are the characteristics of a Mahdi?
Good question. Very good question. The scientific, the scriptural scientific word Mahdi, or the prophetic scientific word Mahdi, is a man that would evolve in his study, submittance and adherence to the divine laws that the originator constructed the universe on. He would be so much in obedience, he would be so studied that he would evolve where he can become self-guided. So Mahdi means a man that is self-guided and has the power and capacity to guide others. He was given the name Farah because in his evolution, everyone else would be obligated to bow, serve, and adhere to his guidance. So Mahdi simply means a man that is self-guided. He has so much knowledge, understanding, and through that knowledge and understanding, he has gained so much power that he has become a guide of himself, which is the eventual destination that the originator desires for all of us. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us at the end of times, when we are made like him, you will not have to ask, oh, where is God, or where should we worship, or should we go here or there? He said you would be God, and you would be a temple of yourself. So he is the first one that has reached that, and his desire for us is to give us that same power and make us like him.
Our praises due to Allah. Thank you for that answer, sir. Next question. I think we still have time, Sister Queen. Because this is good food.
Yes,
good
sir.
Food.
You have about 13 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, sir. Next question is, I have heard a lot of people downplay the role of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because he was once a Mason. Is this true, or should we not listen to them?
According to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's own words, he was a Mason. This does not degrade who he is or even make him subjected to the order or the Masonic order. That doesn't make him underneath that or subservient to that Masonic order. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad became a Mason prior to him meeting the self-guided one, Master Farah Muhammad, or God in person, Master Farah Muhammad. He became a Mason, and according to his own words, he only taught certain aspects of the Masonic order because he was true to his word, and he wanted to keep his word because when you join the Mason, you make a pledge of secrecy. So he adhered to that pledge, and he didn't reveal the intricate detail and the inner, so much of the inner workings of the Masonic order. He was a Mason. He was that before he met Master Farah Muhammad. But after he met Master Farah Muhammad, he was given the keys to what the Masonic order is, who established it, why it was established, and who they established it for. Real quick, we don't know. The Masonic order was established by the Muslims in the East, the Black Moors and the Saracens and the Barbers. When the Caucasian was in Europe, in the caves, living in the medieval times, like savages, not burying his dead, eating raw meat, raping women, didn't understand the mathematics and science and how to build his own home, this type of thing. The Muslims built schools in the Northeast to educate, I believe it was the Northeast, to educate the Caucasian where they would learn the practices and exercises on how to become Muslims. Once they learned the practices and exercises, then they were allowed to come in the Middle East and trade and interact with the original people. So before that knowledge was revealed to us, many of us joined the Masonic order, thinking that it was not only for the Caucasian, it was for us. But it was strictly a school that was designed to educate the Caucasian on how to function amongst the righteous.
Thank you for that answer, brother. Okay, and since we're going to go right to this question, since you mentioned about the Caucasian's origin. This question is, can you tell us why Moses, and I think you call him Musa, why did he try to civilize the devil if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the devil cannot be civilized?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the devil cannot be civilized. I don't remember. It escapes me if Honorable Elijah Muhammad actually said that. If he did, I'm not familiar with that. I believe he said that the devil cannot be reformed. Okay. Okay, let's go from here. Remember the original statement that we attempted to establish this program for. The originator of the heavens and the earth, his job was, or his aim, his desire was for the original inhabitants to become perfect. But in order for us to become perfect, there were certain scientific procedures that we had to go through. There are certain experiments. There were certain operations that we had to go through in order to make us perfect. So the Caucasian was made to take us through a procedure that would allow us to attain a perfection. He was exiled because of his conduct into the caves of Europe. So the scientists, once they analyzed the history, they realized that he was not fulfilling his purpose. So they sent him a man to put him back on his job. And his job was to afflict the original people. They needed a being. They constructed a being who did not have remorse, who did not have mercy. You have people that are doctors that can go right in. God has so shaped their brains that they can go right in and look at your skeleton and see blood spurting all over the place and see your entrails or your inner organs. They can look at them and pick them up and then go back and eat a sandwich and come back 30 minutes later and continue the procedure. Some of us, if we are exposed to that, we would pass out. We would throw up. We would vomit. So Allah created a being that did not have that type of recourse or didn't have that type of mercy and compassion, that he would bring the torment. He was totally made merciless. And his history bears witness to this. He was made that way to take us through this operation of purification. So they had to go or send a man that would educate him to put him back on his job. He didn't civilize him in order to make him a righteous man. He made him civil so he could function amongst the inhabitants of the planet and get on his job. So Moses was sent to educate him to get him back on his job. That was his only purpose. That was his only idea. He was not trying to reform the devil. Later, Prophet Muhammad tried to go through a procedure of reforming the Caucasian as a sign of what the self-guided one would do in the end. Remember, the self-guided one, and this might be difficult for some of y'all to accept, has a greater knowledge than any being that ever lived. And he has come up with a procedure that can be used for the Caucasian to reform him. According to the prophets, according to their understanding, they did not see a process that could be used to reform devil. Many of them tried, and they failed. but they did not have the power, the wisdom, the knowledge, or the understanding that Master Farad Muhammad has. And if you go deep into the scripture, and inshallah, well, God willing, we will show you in the future where many of them will be reformed. Many of them will be restructured where they will be taught and accept a righteous way of living, and they will submit to the God of the universe.
Thank you, brother. Okay, we have, I think we got time for about one, maybe two questions, and then before that, we want you to go ahead and summarize your day and tell us what we're going to be expecting for next week and reintroduce to the audience the product of the week and the song of the week. And this question is, could you explain to me why you don't believe in heaven and hell? And the last question, I'm going to put this one with it. It's another question. Could you please give us the 8 steps of atonement that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan commanded us to partake in?
Okay. The first part, I missed the first portion. Can you give me the first portion again?
Why we don't believe in heaven and hell, or our belief in heaven and hell? What is it?
Okay. There are many layers to the knowledge that is revealed to us. There are many, many, many layers. Okay. We are going to give you as many as we possibly can. Okay? Because I think it's time for us to accept the hard truth. We don't believe, and neither does the scripture, believe in after you die, you go to this hell. After you die, you go to this heaven. The scripture does not teach that. The prophets didn't teach it, and we don't believe it. Okay. You have to, we have to make things make sense. We totally lose our common sense when it comes to scripture. If I tell you, give me all the money in your pocket, and in 30 days, I'm going to bring you a car. You're going to say, wait a minute, man. If I give you all the money in my pocket, I don't know you. So why would you believe that if somebody else tells you that? Die, you're going to go to heaven, you get your reward later. Give me everything that you have now, and you get yours later. It doesn't make sense. The scripture is revealed to human beings. The human beings are on earth. The scripture says in the book of Corinthians, the earthly is first, then the heavenly. So you have people that talk about heavenly experiences and speaking in tongues and catching the Holy Ghost. They talk about all of this heavenly stuff and this heavenly interaction and these heavenly qualities and characteristics, but they haven't mastered the earthly yet. So they're lying. It doesn't mean that they haven't had experiences. It means their understanding of the experience is infantile. It's from a very immature perspective. We believe, as we are taught, and as the scripture teaches, that heaven is on earth. The scripture teaches us that heaven is on earth. It teaches us that heaven was established on earth. It says paradise was in the Garden of Eden. Paradise is, according to geography, was in the Iraq area, according to the scripture. So where did we get that the heaven was in the sky? This is not what we've been taught. Hell is a condition. And many of us, when we talk, we use hell in our terminology. I'm hungry as hell. It's cold as hell. I'm in a hell of a condition. Hell is a state of mind and being. The fire represents the anxiety and the grief of mind. The Bible tells you some would be burned from the inside, but they would not die. Their flesh would be burned, but they would not die. They would burn all the days of their life. That's cancer. Cancer burns you internally without you dying. And you have many other diseases that consume your flesh, that but does not destroy you or kill you instantly. So, the condition of black people has been classified scientifically in the scripture as a condition of hell. And it only means that they live under slavery, suffering, and mental, spiritual, emotional, economic death. It's a state of mind and being, and the scriptures bears witness to that. Heaven is the same. If you meet the woman of your dreams or the man that fits the description of the knight in shining armor, you say, I'm in heaven. I met the man of my dreams. The brothers say, a woman, she looks like heaven. So when you eat, you might say, and it tastes like heaven. So it's just a state of mind and being. The scriptures bear witness to this. It's not that we don't believe, we just don't believe it in the way that it has been revealed to us by our former slave master. Oh, now, as far as the eight state steps of atonement, if I can remember, the first step is point out the wrong. Once the wrong is pointed out, the person that you point the wrong out to is supposed to acknowledge the wrong. Once you acknowledge the wrong, then there has to be a confession. So if you offend me, I say, okay, you did this wrong. Then you have to say, okay, I acknowledge that. Then you have to confess. Then you have to say, okay, please forgive me, which is the fourth step, I think, is repentance. You say, please forgive me, I won't do it no more. And I say, okay, I forgive you. Then we go through a process where we accept or re-accept ourselves as brothers and sisters, or re-accept ourselves as brothers, which is reconciling. And you restore your relationship to what it was previously. And the last step is you both go to God and you reestablish a perfect union with God. So those are the eight steps. Point out the wrong, acknowledge the wrong, confess, repent, atone, forgive, reconcile, and restore the perfect union to God. That's the eight steps of atonement.
Thank you very much, brother, for that answer. And at this time, I want to thank all of the listening audience and all those who tuned in with the World Wide Web and who presented the questions to me. I want to say thank you for those very, very timely questions. And at this phase of the show, we're going to go ahead and let Brother Tony Muhammad go ahead and summarize today's show and let us know what to expect, as well as give us one more time the artist and the product of the week. And then we'll have Sister Aziza Muhammad go ahead and close us out and give us the lineup for the week. And I thank you, brother, for your patience with me and answering those questions. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, sir. I'd like to thank everyone for their question. The brother gave me compliments on the answers, and I'd like to take this time to give all praise to Allah, and we thank him for his messenger, because if it wasn't for Allah and his messenger, I would have nothing to say, and if Allah wasn't with us today, I could have sounded like a babbling idiot. So we thank Allah for his answers that he's allowed us to present to the listening audience, and we hope that we have answered your questions to your satisfaction. We thank you for your question. We thank the host. The brother did a wonderful job. I was very surprised. He did a wonderful job of hosting and presenting the questions. And we also would like to thank Sister Aziza for giving us the opportunity to have this forum to discuss what has been revealed to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as it is taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I would like to thank the listening audience for their participation, and we pray that we can spread the word and we can continue to converse over the divine teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We want to do this again next week, but we would like to say that our purpose for our program, which we call The Movement, is to reignite, to bring back the light and the fire and the spirit of the followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, and to reignite the fire and the spirit to attain to righteousness by all those believers in God and those lovers of truth. We want to, and we intend to, on this program, to awaken the mentally dead of our nation and our people. We want you also, if you will, or if you would, to support the Final Call newspaper, to join the three-year economic plan as established by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which is only 5 cents a day and $18 and some change a year, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is using to purchase land in order that we may have a nation of our own. We ask for you also to tune in to the weekly program by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, The Time and What Must Be Done. It's a 52-week series. You can catch it on YouTube or NOI.org. You can also purchase books by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and tapes by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that will go deeper into and be more enlightening on the topics that we discussed today. And you can go to finalcall.com to get those books, periodicals, and that information. Our product of today was presented by our sister Tamora Sharif. That product is sole purpose. She provides lotions and body products, shower gels, candles, and essential oils. These are all natural products. They are all organic. They have no chemicals, and they are to feed and soothe your body, mind, and spirit. For information about soul products, please call our sister Tamora Sharif at 231-715-1796, or you can reach Sister Tamora Sharif at soulpurpose.net. Our artist of today was, again, a brother that I don't quite remember his name, but the name of the song is The Day They Come and Get the Minister. It's presented by a brother from South Carolina. If you would like further information on my brother, please inbox me on Facebook at Tony Muhammad, and I will get you that information with the help of Allah. We also would like your participation. If you have a brother or a sister, or if you yourself have some music that you would like to present to the believers and the listening audience, we will showcase you on our show, but we would have to approve the song before we present it. We will be playing the song at the midpoint of every show if Allah blesses us to continue. And we will also be presenting the weekly product or service that the believers of our nation and all those that believe in God and righteous conduct, we will be presenting your product also at the midpoint of our show. And we will also be disclosing the current events that have taken place in the past week to bear witness to the prophecy of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the fall of America. So I thank you very much for listening and for your patience. I pray Allah will continue to bless you, and I pray that we will continue to move forward. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, sir.
Alaykum salam. And thank you, Brother Tony. What a beautiful first show. Very intriguing, very inspiring, and, of course, very informative. So we thank you, Brother. And once again, we welcome you to the Nation Building Network family. Okay, so, Brother Tony, are we going to get a sneak peek at next week's topic?
Okay, inshallah, next week we will be covering the person of Minister Farrakhan in the scripture. So if you would, bring your Bibles, and we will reveal many of the revelations that many of us do not know or have forgotten. We will be covering the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in scripture, and in future days, with the help of Allah, we will have some of our patriarchs that will come in periodically, some of the founding fathers and original workers of the Nation of Islam that helped the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan establish this nation and that served under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So stay tuned. We expect some very exciting and informative information and history that will be given by some of these brothers and sisters.
Yes, sir. All praises to Allah. Okay. And join us tomorrow for Conscious Black Nation at 8 p.m. And Brother Kareem, since you are on the line, and I do know the title this time, but I'd rather hear from you, beloved. I know, and
yes,
to prove to you that I do, it says it starts with hard trials are necessary. I just want to let you know that I do know. Okay.
All praise is due to Allah. I had no doubt. I had no doubt. Well, thank you. Yes. Join us tomorrow. But before I say that, I want to thank Brother Tony for his excellent, excellent job. All praise is due to Allah. And also say welcome to Nation Building. I definitely want to say that. But tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Conscious Black Nation, it will be hard trials are necessary to establish the truth.
Yes, sir. Okay, join us for that with Brother Kareem at 8 p.m. And on Tuesday, in honor of Brother Jihad's request, we are going to do the History of the Nation of Islam Part 2. Please join us for that. Brother Jihad is still critically ill in the hospital. For those of you who don't know, he suffered a severe brain aneurysm on Monday, and the prognosis was not very good, but I'm happy to report that he is making tremendous progress, and Allah is manifesting his power with this experience that Brother Jihad has had. And so please continue to keep our dear beloved brother and family member in your prayers. And I want to thank all of you who sent well wishes and prayers to me and to his family and to Brother Jihad personally. I will continue to keep you updated on a daily basis of his progress. And, of course, join us Wednesday for DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 p.m., our hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, I'll be back for part two of our series, Making a Happy Family, with student minister Stanley Muhammad out of College Park, Georgia. And on Friday, we'll be joined by student minister James Muhammad with our live study group, Put on the New Man. And, of course, he's going into part 53 of the minister's The Time and What Must Be Done lecture series, talking about, of course, the wheel. And on Saturday, join us for a face-off with the MGT and the FOI. So this is a question and answer session that we were supposed to have last week, but it was preempted by the minister's broadcast. So we're going to join Let Us Make Man and have that broadcast this coming Saturday. And anyone who's interested in being on the panel for that, please inbox me at Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad on Facebook. The sisters are going to be questioning the brothers about the responsibility in the community, not only to them as black women, but to children, to doing, to building businesses, and they're going to reflect on the pledge that the brothers took at the Million Man March. So it's going to be fun. It's not male bashing. Let me put that out there. This is not male bashing. We just want to hear from my brothers about the state of the black community. And on Sunday, of course, we'll be right back here with Brother Tony, and he's going to be identifying for our kind of scripture. So I want to thank all of you who have joined us tonight. Thank you for taking out your time. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Excuse me for interrupting, sister. I just wanted to make sure we got our brother in there before we left. The brother that did the song today, They Come and Get Farrakhan, is Brother Kelvin Graco from South Carolina. That's Kelvin Graco, Gray X.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who he is. Okay, all praises to Talal. Nice jam. I like that. Okay. Well, thank you all, listening audience, for joining us, and may Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you, in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum.